Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH, and also 96.5 TIC. This morning, I have two guests with me, so we'll introduce them one at a time. We'll start with Jonah Francis. He is the vice chair of the Home Care Association of America, Connecticut chapter. He is also president of Pansy Home Care. Welcome to Face Connecticut, Jonah. Glad to have you here.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to be here as well. Thanks for the opportunity, Morgan.
Oh, absolutely. And also with us is Matthew Hallisey. He is a lobbyist, government affairs consultant of his own firm. Great to have you here, Matt. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
I'll start with a question for Jonah. He's somebody who owns his own home care business in Connecticut. And because of that, I think that he's a great person to ask this very first question, which is, what are some of the issues that you're seeing before the industry here in Connecticut as we begin 2024? Jonah?
Thank you. Well, I believe the very first thing that's probably most important to home care owners and will equally be important to the clients, the people that are acquiring our services, is the Medicaid reimbursement rate. As minimum wage has continued to increase in Connecticut, first we had the fight for 15. That's brought minimum wage from, I believe, 10 to 10 all the way up to $15 an hour, which it is, which it was ending in, I believe, June 2023. Now we have the economic, the yearly economic raises as well, which currently has in January brought the minimum wage up to $15.69. So while most home care owners I know are not paying their care staff minimum wage, it still is affecting the bottom line because, of course, wages do still have to go up. And as wages go up, that's going to impact the clients and their ability to continue to pay for our services long term.
Is there anything that's in a really good position as we begin the year?
Yes, I think that would probably have to be the fact that we as a home care industry, and in Connecticut, we're known as the Homemaker Companion Agencies. We are actually positioning ourselves to move towards the Department of Public Health as opposed to the Department of Consumer Protection, where there is a lot more oversight for our clientele overall, and also a lot more rules and regulations that might actually come into that as well. For again, just overall better oversight for what's going on within our industry, safer for clients.
And also with us this morning, we just spoke with him a few moments ago, Matthew Hallisey, a lobbyist from his own firm. And he's part of the conversation today to bring some greater depth to some of the issues that we are looking at in Connecticut this year and how they might be addressed in the legislative session this year, maybe even further down the line. And so, Matthew, welcome to the program. What are some of the issues that you're seeing yourself?
Thanks, Morgan. I think, as Jonah said, increasing the Medicaid reimbursement rate, that's a perennial issue given the annual increases in minimum wage. Those costs are going to have to come from somewhere, and we're hoping that the department will not only, the Department of Social Services in the state will keep pace with minimum wage for agencies, but also correspond with the timing of those minimum wage increases, which are going to occur annually pretty much now as of January 1, as Jonah noted. I think another big issue is going to be caregiver safety. I think we're going to see some changes. Certainly some legislation will definitely be introduced given the tragic circumstances that occurred in Eastern Connecticut with the death, a murder of a visiting nurse out there, Miss Grayson. And we're hoping that that the state will address this in terms of safety protocols and education and even oversight by agencies, but also addressing perhaps the state, you know, any state responsibility there as well. But also, I think the caregiver shortage is an issue, and we're happy to talk about that as well as as Jonah said, the what's happening in the industry as far as transferring registration and oversight from the Department of Consumer Protection to the Department of Public Health.
And just to establish a baseline here, this question's for Jonah. We're talking obviously about home care, but there's a big difference between home care and institutional care. Maybe a fine line for somebody who is in and out of a more professional facility and trying to get back to being at home. And so could you kind of walk us through some of the differences between the two for somebody that is perhaps new to this conversation?
Yeah, sure thing. So in the grand scheme of things, there's healthcare overall, and healthcare includes the hospital systems. Healthcare does, in my opinion, include home care as well. And when we're starting to talk about home care in specific, we like to call things like the three-legged stools of home care. You have your non-medical home care agencies, which is, again, in Connecticut, we're called homemaker companion agencies, but nationally, we're known as the non-medical home care agency. And that includes agencies like myself that provides assistance with activities of daily living for our clients. And again, non-medical support. The second leg of that three-legged stool I'm describing is the medical home health agencies. And with medical home health agencies, you have your visiting nurse, your physical therapists, your occupational therapists, and occasionally you might have a home health aide that might help with things like a shower schedule. And then last but not least, you have your hospice agencies for end of life care and that sort of journey. So that's what we like to call the three-legged stool of home care. And home care overall is a part of the healthcare system, in my opinion.
We hear about a caregiver shortage. Are there enough people to go from home to home and make sure that these clients of theirs are in good care?
Great question. Yes, the bottom line, there was a study done by AARP that addressed over 90%. I believe the number was 92% of Americans prefer to age in home. So in terms of going to a assisted living community, an independent living community, or a nursing home, most Americans are choosing to stay home and choosing that they want to stay home. However, I do want to acknowledge that those environments are appropriate for people that either want to go there or people that kind of need to go there, that their level of care might require skilled care that is not possible to care for them at home any longer. However, yes, in general, people do want to remain home. And to address the home, the caregiver shortage, and how that will impact things is there is a lot more people that want to stay home and age at home than there is going to be active caregivers that are able to continue to care for them in home, especially because people may need a lot of hours, right? And there's only so much hours that one individual can care for someone on a one-to-one spectrum.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jonah, how do we get more people into the industry, specifically for the home care aspect, if there will be a greater shortage going into the future?
Another great question. I think that the industry, especially since COVID, has done a lot of things to try and incentivize people to continue to come into the industry and be professional caregivers, such as making the PCA or CNA programs a lot shorter. I remember when my mother was a CNA back in the early 90s, her CNA program was about 6 months, and now these CNA programs tend to be a lot faster. I've heard of CNA programs that are about 2 weeks. So just kind of trying to do that a little bit faster, incentivize people to go ahead and take the program so that they know that they can get out of work, or they can get out and start working a lot sooner. But there's also programs by the Medicaid waivers program that is also incentivizing family members to join the care workforce as well. And family members are able to start getting paid and compensated for contributing to the care of their loved ones.
A question now for Matt Hallisey. We've been speaking a few minutes now with Jonah Francis, who is the vice chair of Home Care Association of America, Connecticut chapter, and he's the president of Pansy Home Care. My question for Matt, who's a lobbyist and really understands what's going on in the Connecticut legislature these days and with this upcoming session, I want to know about this caregiver shortage. And are you hearing the lawmakers in Hartford from both sides of the aisle addressing this? Do you think it's going to come up this year?
It's an issue that has come up in the past. We hope it will. I think some of the challenges can be related to funding. I think we're looking to see if there might be some dedicated training in education programs. That would be one way they could support and recognize caregivers. Perhaps raising income limits for people who are participating in state programs, benefits such as Husky Health. So it's a perennial challenge with the budget, I would say, and related to those things. And with fiscal guardrails in place, it's going to be a little more challenging. But we're going to do everything we can to advocate for that. I would also like to add that all these parts about about the role of homemaker companion agencies, they are part, as Jonah said, part of the three-legged stool, and others call it the continuum of care for people as they progress, as they age in place. And nursing homes certainly have a role, and hospice and other facilities, other programs. But our role, of course, is to advocate on behalf of the home care industry in Connecticut and how we can help and support people who want to age in place and live at home.
Speaking specifically about wages and getting people into this field and keeping them, I know that we've been speaking a bit about home care, but we heard about the possible nursing home strike in Connecticut, and there were other related strikes as well that loomed. Some of them happened with group homes 2021 and 2022, and I believe also in early 2023. So at what point are we going to look at this and say, how can we get a more sustainable wage? Because it seems like every single year this possible strike comes up, or almost every year it comes up. And I don't know if that's something that's been thought about that might happen in 2024 or 2025. Does anybody, Matt or Jonah, have any insight on that?
Yeah, sure. I think less on the home care side. I think that's more so on your skilled nursing and hospital side that we've been seeing these strikes. I remember, even dating back to it, when my mother was a part of the nursing homes, when she was employed by nursing homes, and they used to go on strikes regularly as well. I think at the end of the day, the caregiving job is a very difficult job. It is not easy. It is very rewarding. It is very much so passion driven. Someone has to have the ability to be a good caregiver, the patience, the love, the compassion to be a good caregiver. And unfortunately, at times they're not compensated for the level of work that they're doing. And as, again, minimum wage continues to increase, of course, someone wants to make sure that their pay scale is reflecting on that, of that increase as well. So I think a lot of times we're seeing CNAs and other people within those settings want to make sure that they're being adequately paid, and not just payment, but also they're, since COVID happened as well, COVID showed us that at times a lot of these places are working understaffed as well. And so, CNAs are not just fighting for pay, but they're fighting for, equal work environments so that they can, know that they're caring for their clients well, while at the same time having the support that they need to deliver quality care.
Sometimes we're looked at as a competitor to the home care industry, is looked at as a competitor to nursing homes, but it's not necessarily the case. We're complementary. We support what is happening, in that we also place caregivers, homemakers or companions in nursing homes. These are the homes of people who are aging, and they consider that their home in the nursing home, and that's fine. So we follow them into nursing homes or assisted living facilities and provide care in those facilities.
People who are in your association, Jonah, who is the vice chair of the Home Care Association of America, Connecticut chapter. He's also the president of Pansy Home Care. And I'm specifically transitioning the conversation this morning to talk about Joyce Grayson, who was killed while she was working as a home care worker in Willimantic. She was there as a visiting nurse. And I want to know, initially, when you heard that news, Jonah, what did you think about, and how are you looking at this as a possible way to maybe fix some problems that are in the home care industry?
Sure. When I heard about it was shocking. It was frightening. I almost didn't even have the opportunity to kind of, figure things out. because all of my CNAs were reaching, all of my caregivers were reaching out to me because they were also worried, shocked, and they saw themselves as someone that can easily be in that same situation. They're going into homes unsupervised, taking care of people that needs the help and support. So, you know, again, I was hurt. I was scared. But so were my team that were actually living that on an everyday basis. So two things come to mind when I heard about this situation, and two things that the industry is currently working to improve is trainings for caregiver and also oversight. So first of all, when we're talking about training, we're talking about how to recognize certain situations that might be harmful to a caregiver when they're walking into environments. And then secondly, how can we properly supervise situations so that we can avoid something like this from happening again? And I think this is where the conversation kind of should start to turn to, you know, AI and technology and how technology can possibly help with this as well.
I want to ask you, Matt, about traction that proposed legislation has been getting to address the problem of security for people who are home care workers. They're going to homes. One name that comes to mind is State Senator Saud Anwar, Democrat from South Windsor, who's been a big advocate for saying that we need to do something about this.
He has, definitely. Senator Anwar is chairman of the Public Health Committee, and him along with Kristen McCarthy-Vahey and Senator Catherine Marks down in the New London area have been leading the efforts to address this. I think you're going to definitely see some policy related to this. I expect that, and by the way, those legislators, among others, there will be something introduced. I would like to go back and you know, we were when this occurred, it was tragic. It was stunning, and this woman led an incredible life. She was a foster parent, foster mother to many children. While she was not directly in our industry, we're obviously very sympathetic to her and her family. And it just shouldn't have happened. But as Jonah said, the industry does provide supervision and oversight and education and training, and we're hoping that some of those policies that will be introduced will address those, and will also consider or keep in mind what is already done in the industry to keep people safe. Whether and even related to insurance, just last month we had a program with the Connecticut Association for Healthcare at Home. We co-sponsored to talk about workers' compensation in the workplace, and particularly in relation to crisis situations that might occur like this. So we expect to be part of that conversation, and I'm sure that the legislature will come up with some solutions that will hopefully address this and to help prevent this from occurring again.
I'm looking at a document here from 2022. About the establishment of a community ombudsman program for home care, which would add more oversight. And I know that that's from a year and a half, 2 years ago at this point, but looking ahead to this legislative session, is there an update on that situation and perhaps some improvements that could be made there, either Matt or Jonah?
I think there's an effort underway to hire up to a dozen community care ombudsmen who would actually be advocates for on behalf of consumers who are in the home, to allow them to voice their concerns, similar to what might take place in a nursing home today. That I don't think it's been fully funded, but there is a new ombudsman that is in place, a community care ombudsman at the Department of Aging and Disability Services. We've been in contact with the community program manager in that office, and we're actually going to participate in a program sponsored by Connecticut Association for Healthcare at Home, and HCAOA is going to be part of that conversation, and we're also hoping to invite some of those officials to an annual conference that we're hosting in the spring as well.
Matt, I'm also wondering, do you guys ever look for people to talk about challenges and also benefits of home care in the legislative session? I know that there are many public hearings. Maybe there's somebody in the audience that has a perspective that they would like to share.
Sure. There are people, legislators, there's a committee in the legislature that's been dedicated to aging issues. It's called the Aging Committee. And they've been, it's a very bipartisan committee. They have worked well together on both sides of the aisle. And we're often partnering with other organizations. I think Jonah is a member of Alzheimer's Association of Connecticut, and we also work with AARP Connecticut, as well as the Home Health Organization. And we try to collaborate and form coalitions. And there is a, I think we're trying to educate. That's one of our big roles of Home Care Association of America. We're trying to educate not only consumers, but also public officials and policymakers and how they can set policy that that helps consumers ultimately and makes and keeps the cost down for them to continue to have a safe environment at home and a place where people want to live out their years.
If people are looking to learn more about that, this is a question for Jonah. How could they learn more about home care in Connecticut and about your organization being the vice chair of the Home Care Association of America Connecticut chapter? As Matt said, it's all about education.
It most definitely is. And we as an association, we do a very good job of doing that. But also local home care owners are in the community consistently giving education to the public, also to even our healthcare system, going into different communities to deliver the message of what home care can do and how home care can benefit their residents and the community at large. But not only that, I do have to give credit to the Department of Consumer Protection as well, because they do have drafts of things that your that you can expect from a home care agency to help with consumer decision. And so consumers can feel empowered and emboldened by what they're looking for and what they can expect from a home care agency. Now, if you're looking for PNZ Home Care in particular, it's very simple. You can go to PNZcare.com and you can look us up and see where we are, or you can find us on any of your social media platforms to see exactly what we're doing within the community.
That's fantastic, Jonah. Go on, Matt.
There's also my client, the Home Care Association of America, is its website is hcaoa.org. There's a lot of information there about how to find quality home care, non-medical home care, and also there are education and training programs that we have mainly for home care agency owners, but we do provide information about for the studies and resources, and we provide training and education programs for our members. But also I do want to add, as Jonah said, we're working closely with those officials in the Department of Consumer Protection, Public Health, and Office of Policy and Management as part of this transition plan that we referred to earlier that's taking place over the coming months and years.
Before we wrap up the interview, because I know we're more or less out of time here, I just want to make sure that I've touched on some of the topics, at least did some kind of an introduction to them. I know we had a number of topics here before us that you guys wanted to bring up. Is there anything else that you guys wanted to add?
I would add the issue of industry standards. I think it's very important that for HCAOA and home care providers. We want to have we're looking at a license perhaps down the road. We want to be able to improve the delivery of in-home care to clients. And we think that setting those standards is one way to do that.
Jonah, is there anything else that we're missing you'd like to mention?
Just bringing more awareness to the public overall about, you know, the shortage of caregivers, but not just the shortage of caregivers, the real experience that seniors are going through as they're continuing to age, whether that is isolation, not having enough support or financial latitude to be able to afford the support at home. So I would just urge anyone that's listening to this to reach out to their local constituents and voice your concerns about, you know, what aging might look like, whether for your family members or somebody that you care about.
I want to thank both of you for coming on Face Connecticut with me this week. Jonah Francis, Vice Chair of the Home Care Association of America, Connecticut Chapter, and President of PNZ Home Care. Thanks for coming on this week.
Thank you. We appreciate the opportunity.
Looking forward to talking with you again for sure. And Matt Hallisey as well, lobbyist and government affairs consultant of Matthew Hallisey Government Affairs, LLC. We really appreciate you coming on, Matt, and sharing some added insight.
Thanks so much, Morgan.
And we'll talk with all again. Take care.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast. chronicling the epic story of America, decade by decade, from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.